Hello and welcome to Sound Thinking from Verus Investments. My name is Ian Toner and I'm Chief Investment Officer. It's March the 4th, 2020, and let me begin with our usual disclaimer. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. This podcast is for informational purposes for institutions and their representatives, and not for the retail market or for retail investors. In fact, nothing that I'm talking about today is investment, legal, accounting, tax advice, or a recommendation to buy or sell a security, or pursue a particular investment strategy. So with that out of the way, let me explain why I'm recording this. We are coming out this week with a new Sound Thinking piece called The Judgmental Waiter, and it outlines the approach that Verus is taking to ESG in institutional investing. The analogy that I used to start this piece, it talks about the role of a waiter when serving a big family, visiting a restaurant, ordering food together. We've all been in that situation where there's a whole bunch of dietary preferences and needs, some health-driven, some religious-driven, some attitude, you know, all the different things you have. And the waiter's job there is to help the family understand what they can meaningfully order together and not express their own opinions. So, for example, it would be bad if a waiter was a enthusiastic vegan and was disapproving about people ordering steak. It would be bad if you had a waiter who had a particularly strong view about food allergies and didn't believe that food allergies existed and commented that way towards someone who wanted a gluten-free meal even though they have celiac disease, and so on. That would be out of place, not because it's wrong for the waiter to have their own viewpoints. It's totally fine for a waiter to be a vegan, of course, but because of the position the waiter finds themselves in. They're not there to express their own view. They're there to help the people they're serving express their view, express their opinion, and order the best meal for them. And that really puts the ESG conversation into context, we think. And that's why we begin with this analogy, because as an investment consultant and as an investment manager in the context of OCIO, what we do is we build portfolios for institutional clients. And ESG is an increasingly large part of the conversation in the investment space. Some parts of the marketplace are more interested in it than others, obviously. And indeed, it's been driven significantly from outside the United States, where many of the issues involved, in particular environmental issues, but lots of the other issues, are more consensus than some of the topics are in the United States. It's also been popular in the retail space, as we know, with individual investors caring more and focusing more on the broader impact of their investments. And that is totally fine. The key question, though, is who makes that decision? Because it's important to notice that ESG investment, to really be ESG, has to be more than just the normal day-to-day investment process that's gone on for centuries, where a company that has regular fines, you might put a discount on their valuation, or a company that does really bad behavior, socially irresponsible behavior, likely to attract legislative or regulatory attack, you're probably going to be a little more careful around that. That's normal standard investment. And pretending that's ESG is greenwashing more than anything else. Now, ESG means something more. It means both investing and or voting and engaging, so engagement and proxy voting, in a way that's particularly designed around certain goals or certain concepts or certain principles. Maybe because you believe in those principles morally, maybe because you have a shared agenda with those principles, or maybe because you believe there's an investment return associated with that. All of those are fine. The important thing, though, is that in most of these cases, those are viewpoints that are being expressed. Particularly the case when you're talking about proxies being voted or engagement being entered into by a manager. But it's also the case when you're talking about the investment strategy. And the underlying question is, whose call is it on those issues? Who says what matters and who says what view should be being expressed? And the answer, of course, in the institutional space is the investor. It's the board of the institution in an institutional space that has to have that conversation. And they have to have that conversation and make that determination on the basis of the interests of the pool of money over which they're fiduciaries, rather than necessarily their personal viewpoint. So the example that I give in this piece is a personally pro-choice doctor sitting on the board of a Catholic healthcare institution. And so you might have a conflict there because the Catholic healthcare institution may well follow and probably will follow the Catholic Church's teaching on issues around life and abortion and so on. And the individual doctor who may sit on the board because they're a medical expert and they work there, and the question of abortion rights and so on may not be part of their personal practice. They might be an osteopath, for example. They're sitting on the board because of their role in the institution. They would probably feel it completely appropriate, whatever their personal views are, to faithfully represent the views of the institution in setting the proxy voting and engagement policy around issues around life. The organization comes first, not the individual board member's personal preference, not certainly the investment manager's preference, nor the consultant's. And so the first question is, how does the board work out what to think? And that's a practical question where they're engaging in issues which may have political or social implications, which are quite different from the finance components that the finance components that they're normally concerned with. And emotions can run high in that conversation. There are other people in the picture, of course. The first is the investment management community. But the reality is investment managers are running a business, and they will be balancing a combination of their views as a group of individuals and as an organization on these topics, political, social, and other views, their views of the market. So where do they think they will be able to sell the product they're building? And then their views of maybe the investment implications as well. And an investment, skillful investment manager, management is balancing those three issues when you build products. And if you like that product as a consumer, as an investment board, as a client, then you buy that product, you invest your money in that product, and you accept the way that the investments are run and the way that engagement and proxy voting happens, or you don't. And if you don't, you go buy another product. So owners of capital can and should set their view as first fiduciary in the process on these issues. Investment managers will build product which will be bought or not bought based on their success around timing the market and assessing where there's opportunity. But it's important, of course, there's fidelity and understanding. In other words, a product that is voting proxies in a particular way, if it's anything other than entirely focused on pure investment, if there are other agendas around, then it's important that the owners of capital who are invested in that product understand the way in which that engagement is happening. And then finally, consultants. And consultants are in a very different role than anyone else, in the sense that they are with the client all the way through the process. They're advising and helping the client understand and determine where they sit on these issues. They're then helping them select product. They're then monitoring the product. They're assessing the asset allocation and so on and so forth. Our belief is that the consulting firm owns that duty of neutral advice to all of their clients equally. Now, why does that matter? Because the range of viewpoints in the country will be reflected in the range of viewpoints across the client base. Any firm of our size or larger will have some client institutions that have got a very liberal base, others very conservative, and others a mixture. Some of the organizations they serve will have strong religious views, some will have strong labor views, some will have strong environmental views, some will say ESG issues aren't important in investment at all. I know when I look at our client base, all of those constituents are present. And of course, within our organization, we have the whole variety and diversity of views as well. The key point is that our job is to work with each of those individual clients to understand where they sit on these issues, come to that conclusion with fidelity, without the perception that we're pushing a particular agenda ourselves, and then helping them build it. And so we believe that position of positive neutrality is the best description of where we feel we should sit. As I say in the piece, as individuals, we encourage diversity of viewpoint in our organization because we think that having that broad range of views and backgrounds makes us stronger, helps us make better decisions. Also, as an organization, as I put it in this piece, we try to walk softly. We're aware of our footprint on the world. We encourage charitable contributions and charitable involvement from our employees, and we support that. We recycle, we work in efficient buildings, we use video conferences where practical rather than getting on an airplane and so on. But we also recognize that, like most organizations in today's America, We have a whole variety of people. We have conservatives, we have liberals, Hillary voters, Trump voters, independent voters, environmentalists and people that aren't so focused on the environment, Second Amendment opponents and enthusiasts, pro-choicers, pro-lifers, and so on and so on. And that's good. That's the way it should be, because when we look at the millions of people who directly or indirectly are touched by the clients that we serve, that's who our clients are as well. That diversity of viewpoint is part of the marketplace. So our role in the ESG discussion isn't to take a side. We can do that with our own personal investments if we so choose. But our role is to understand for each of our clients where they sit, how they should think about this, help them understand the implications of it, and then help them implement that. We think that that's important. We think it's important because that's the most faithful way to serve those customers, and it's most likely to get them an ESG agenda or non-ESG agenda, if they regard this as not something they want on their table, that best fits their organization. Now, it's important to note here, this is not saying that we don't think ESG is important. We think it's very important. It's a core part of what we're working on this year and on an ongoing basis. All of our consultants and consulting associates and investment staff have full formal training in ESG issues. We're in the process of providing a formal ESG rating for all of the products that we cover formally, and that's going to be completed later this year. We've got a bunch of papers we're writing this year looking at issues in risk modeling, decision making, manager selection, portfolio construction, and so on. And many of our consultants and consulting associates and investment professionals are personally very interested in the ESG space and working on it in their personal work and in what they do. But the key point is, we need to be expert in the details of this subject and be aware where all of the managers we use stand on these issues and understand what's available and what people are doing, but not to be advocates for any one particular approach. We're not advocates for one approach. We're advocates for each of our clients individually and for their specific approach. So, a client who has chosen to become a PRI signatory, our job and our role and our capability set is there to help them best deliver on the obligations and expectations they've signed up to and help them be the most effective organization as a PRI signatory. Another organization that sits just down the street that's chosen not to be a PRI signatory and in fact isn't particularly keen on the questions that are raised by ESG, our job is to help them with equal strength, enthusiasm, and vigor that we did with the first client. So, ESG, in our view, is really important. It's very important. And it's too important in that sense for us to want to impose a particular single viewpoint on either our diverse clients, because they will fall all the way across the spectrum, or indeed our diverse employees. The best path forward, we think, is to work to make sure our clients can decide how to approach these issues, to give our employees the ability to feel that we're not pointing them in a single direction, to help them participate in the conversation, and then to help our clients build their portfolios most efficiently and most effectively to address the issues that matter to them as organizations working in the interests of their beneficiaries, whoever they are. I hope you'll read the paper, and I'm always happy to answer questions by email or by phone from anyone that's interested. Thank you so much indeed for your time, and goodbye.